Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive. The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. On the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, the Raiders started hot, but the Kansas City Chiefs, well, they Kansas City Chiefs. Diddy Pascal hanging out with my guy Jason Fitz in the fifth quarter presented by Twitch. And Fitz, you and I were talking before we started rolling here. A weird game, I think. Obviously, the Raiders jump out that 14-0 lead early. The Chiefs come storming back, finishing the game on a, let me check my notes, 31-3 run. But there were moments where it felt really close. There are moments that it didn't feel that close at all. I candidly, Fitz, I'm having kind of a hard time wrapping my mind around everything we saw this afternoon.
I think this comes back to identity a little bit, right? Like, we're still learning the identity of what this team is with the different coaching staff. So that's part of it. We're still learning what the identity of Aiden O'Connell looks like, right? So when you put all of these things together, the hardest part about losses like this is that realistically, there is no one moment that you pinpoint and say, man, we had it until this. And there's no one thing that you say, oh, if we were just better at this one thing, the game would have been totally different. This is just one of those moments where it felt like early on the Raiders were marching with efficiency. Efficiency is a word I'm going to use a lot here. Aiden was playing with it. They were running with it. It kept everything in the right down and distance. The first three drives really felt easy. The game could have easily been 17-0 or 21-0. But then once you left that one little sliver, all it took was one punt, and all of a sudden this game turned around. That's what Kansas City and Miami, I think those are two teams in the NFL that with one punt, you can suddenly find yourself giving up 14, 21 points by the time the possessions worked the way they did. So Kansas City got back in this game sneaky, and then it just felt like the Raiders could not give another counter blow.
Yeah, 100%. And I think for me, and we talk about, and you're 100% right, where you can't boil this down to one moment, right? But it does feel like there are a handful of moments that go into the larger collective of the Raiders falling to 5-7. And to me, Fitz, the one of those moments was Raiders up 14-0, right? And we knew deep in our core, as much as we didn't want to admit it, that the Chiefs were going to answer. That's what they do. They got Patrick Mahomes. They got Andy Reid. They're going to answer. So what do? They do. Answer 14-7. Raiders get the ball back. And to me, Fitz, that felt like a moment where, okay, we need to get something on the board here. We need to have some sort of sustained momentum. We got to at least get a field goal. We got to get something. They don't do that. That's your point. The punt goes back to the Chiefs, and they tie that bad boy up at 14-14. And a mutual friend of ours texts me, and he goes, well, that was quick. And I think to me, that is kind of the epitome of the Chiefs, is you feel good. You have a great start. You're up two scores. Things are going your way. Quarterback's playing well. The run game that I've been yelling and screaming about to get going is going. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh, where'd that lead go? It's gone. It's vanished. It's not here anymore.
Yeah. Momentum is so key in these matchups, because I don't think this is some fiery hot take. If you look at the Chiefs top to bottom and you look at the Raiders top to bottom and you stack them up, if you just walked in to play Madden tomorrow and you were picking which team you wanted to play as, you're going to pick Kansas City if you have no fandom, right? Like, the Chiefs are arguably right now, inarguably, I think, a better roster. They are an organization that's been at the top of the mountain for a very long time for a reason. And they also have this incredible tag team combo of coach and quarterback. So that means, you know, at some point, you are going to take some hits. The question is, how do you regain momentum? And that's really difficult to do. When the air was sort of sucked out of the room, like when Josh Jacobs hits that huge 60-plus yard touchdown, goes up 14-0 after the Raiders have missed a field goal, I thought, man, you just got that momentum back. This is huge. Kansas City took the momentum. And the thing about them is that they've been in the driver's seat for so long in the AFC. Man, once they get momentum, they know how to keep it. And I'm not sure that this Raiders team knew how to get that momentum back. It felt like it was going to take some turnover or some massive special teams play. It was going to take something substantial. And I don't know that this team right now, as constructed, knows how to generate that moment.
Yeah, I was talking to some of our friends in the box, Fitz, pregame. I'd be like, okay, what do we need to win? And I said exactly what you did. I was like, you need to have a big moment from someone that's not on your offense, right? You need to have the Max Crosby scoop and score. You need to have a Meek Robertson picks it. You need to have something. You need to have a special teams something. You got to have points that are generated, you know, from someone that's not on the offensive side of the football. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case today. But Fitz, we talk about some of the kind of uniqueness and some of the weirdness of today. Like, if you would have told me going into today, like I was talking about it all week. Today had to be a Josh Jacobs game. He had to get his touches. If you would have told me that he would have had, doing some quick math here, 26 touches, over 100 yards on the ground, just over 5.5 yards a carry, Aiden O'Connell would have north of 100 passer rating with no turnovers, I'd be like, I'll take that 100% of the time. And then here we go, and we look at it, and the Raiders, lose 31 to 17 with that 31-3 kind of end of the game. So it's hard for me to kind of figure it out, Fitz. It really is, and I think that like it comes down to me for a lot of things, but the big one is the second half adjustments, right? We look at what Josh did in the second half. Josh has 94 yards in the first half, 16 in the second half. Devontae has 73 receiving yards in the first half, 0 in the second half. Like, how do we kind of make this make sense, Fitz? How do we kind of, become at peace with the fact that, hey, these guys are rocking and rolling, and what they're doing, what Bo Hardigree is doing in the first half is working, but for whatever reason, we can't sustain it for 60 minutes?
I will pull up a text here that I got from somebody that I just genuinely respect that does a great job of, breaking down the league. And this is what he said. Surprised by the end of the first half, not taking a timeout. You got a great kicker, two awesome wide receivers. But the fact that they can't get Devontae going other than in the first half tells me that maybe once they get past the script, it's a bleaker outlook. And that I read that because, A, that's an intelligent person that's been around the league for a long time. B, it speaks to what the Raiders have done, I think, since the coaching changes pretty effectively, which is in the beginning of the game, have a real idea of what they're trying to accomplish, and they do it really well. In my mind, one of the things that happens here is that there's an adjustment. Now, the minute there's an adjustment from the defensive side of the ball, and Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best, right? One of the best defensive coordinators. The Chiefs this year are defined by their defense. Once there's an adjustment going into the second half, then it becomes two questions. Can the coaching staff adjust? And then as they try to adjust, can Aiden O'Connell adjust? And, you know, when you start talking about trying to find the one thing, I guess to me, we know this about the Chiefs. And I'll just ask you this right now. The Chiefs need a drive. They need a drive for a touchdown. Who has to come up big for that drive to happen? We all know the answer, right? It's going to be Mahomes and Kelce, right? So, and they manage that. Even though the entire stadium knows that Kelce's going to get his on third down, he still gets his. Even though the entire stadium knows that Mahomes is going to run around and then he's going to run up to the line of scrimmage, and when he tries to stop him from running, he's going to float it over you and he's going to embarrass everybody. He still gets his. One of the hard parts is when you're playing really good teams like the Dolphins, for example, where we all know Tyreek's got to get the ball. He still gets his. We know Devontae needs to get the ball. What this team hasn't figured out how to do in the second half is figure a way to feed somebody when the entire room knows who's going to be fed. Like, that's an adjustment and an execution issue that we don't have an answer for. And I think it's a huge part of why this thing fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to someone in the box earlier, Fitz, about Kelce, and they're like, oh, man, today's got to be the day where the Raiders figure out a way to stop him. And it's like, well, yes. They do, but then you look up and all of a sudden Kelce goes 6 for 91, and it felt like a kind of a quiet 6 for 91, but you're like, this guy, we were talking about it during in the studio earlier, where it's like, you know, he doesn't come off as overly fast, right? He's a bigger dude. He's 34, but somehow, some way, this guy just finds a way to get open, to make plays, and the connection that him and Mahomes have together, certainly built up over years and years and, you know, tons of success, it's pretty incredible to go out there and watch him do his thing, because to your point, Fitz, everyone at Allegiant Stadium, Patrick Graham, the fans, the guys on that defense, they know what's happening, and they still just find a way to kind of, you know, Kelce it up. It's pretty incredible.
And this is where, at some point, the Raiders are going to have to take a long look in the mirror at roster construction. Because I guess my quick answer to that, and this is no discredit to anybody currently wearing the silver black, but, like, who the hell's supposed to do it? Like, when you just look at the...
I mean, to be fair, Fitz, there's been, like, 18 guys over the past 6 years that they've thrown at. You know what I mean? Like, remember the great Obi Melifonwu? He was supposed to be the Kelce... not the Kelce keeper, but the eliminator, Kelce stopper, right? The Kelce eliminator. Yeah. Like, we could go down the list of all these names, and no one's been able to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, well, I don't just because we put the people in there, like that's like, you know, you decide that you're going to put me in on Steph and be like, hey, we're just going to have Fitz slow down Steph Curry today. Let's see how it goes. Like, OK, I know that's an extreme example, but if you look at size and speed and then knowledge of the league, there aren't many people that can slow down Kelce. And if there are, they certainly currently aren't here. Like, I think I've given a lot of credit over the last several weeks to the execution of the linebackers, particularly. Spillane has been, I think, really a light this year as an acquisition. Divine Diablo has taken big leaps forward. So I don't want to take anything away from that. But it just feels like, okay, so you're going to ask Trayvon Merrick, who's also played better this year, to suddenly step up. But when he steps up next to Kelce, it looks like he's given up, you know, 19 inches and 432 pounds. Like, it's just the two don't look compatible. So I don't know how to stop what you know is coming when it just doesn't feel like you have the right bodies there to be able to do that. No easy answer. I just don't see the answer on the field.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and you know, certainly no fault from no fault of anyone on that roster for trying to figure it out, and simply just no answers for Kelce today. But one interesting thing that did occur on the defensive side of the football, Fitz, is, and we heard from Coach Antonio Pierce post game, Marcus Peters pulled from that game first half, standing on the sideline with the beanie, kind of away from the teammates. Antonio called it a coach's decision to have him not go back in there. We see a little bit more of Jack Jones, and I'm just kind of curious, you know, probably a little too early to kind of give an assessment of Mr. Jones and what we saw, but certainly seems noteworthy that number 24 did not finish this game. I mean, certainly in pads and everything, but didn't finish the game on the field for the Silver and Black.
Well, let's add one other portion to that. He didn't finish the game on a day where Ja'Quarian Bennett was, I think, to many people, a surprise healthy scratch, right? Mm-hmm. So you're obviously around the building more than I am, but it felt like looking at social media and seeing Ja'Quarian as a scratch was a statement. Okay, that's a statement that how much they believe in Jones and his ability to step up, and also that Ja'Quarian might be taking a little longer to develop than anybody wants right now. But for Marcus Peters to essentially just be put to the side in a game where they were already, in my mind, a little thin on the secondary speaks to how bad the effort was. And I think anybody watching the TV saw it in the moment. You saw a couple of times where you didn't see what you want to see from somebody, because let's be clear here. Marcus Peters is not just here to play. He's not just here to play at a high level, and he's not just here to execute. He's also here to set an example. That's part of what you pay a guy like Marcus Peters to do, is to come in and really assert a certain culture in the defensive backfield. That's not happening by playing the way he's playing. So I think coach's decision, this speaks to Antonio Pierce, who early on has a reputation as a player's coach, not being afraid as a player's coach to look at one of the more dominant, louder personalities on the team and say, no, this is the way we're going to do it because I don't like what I see from you. I thought that was a substantial moment from Antonio Pierce, frankly.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, like, just to be clear, right, and to make everything as transparent as we can be, we've heard nothing but good things about what Marcus has been in that locker room, right, about being a mentor, about building guys up in that secondary, very young secondary, a lot of talent, but a lot of young dudes. But to your point, right, like, you know, if I can see it and you can see it, 100% Patrick Graham can see it, 100% Antonio Pierce can see it. So I think that, to your point, Antonio making kind of a statement, you know, really not trying to sugarcoat it, dance around the question when he got asked postgame. He said, nah, this was a coach's decision. But we talk about guys, Fitz, that are, you know, paid to come in and be an example. Lost in all this is the really Herculean effort we saw from our guy Max Crosby today. If we go look, and our guy Adam Schefter tweeted this out, I believe on Friday, there are 67 guys, Fitz, that have been listed officially doubtful going into that game week, right? 67 of them. Not one of them has played in the game, except, you guessed it, our guy Max Crosby. And so, look, you know, it's clear that we saw what we saw from him today. It's certainly the most snaps that he's taken off, not by choice, as that was abundantly clear by some of his reactions on the sideline. But, man, you talk about a guy who sets the tone. You talk about the face of the franchise. You and I have gone on and on and on about how much Max means to this fan base, to this organization, everyone in this building. But you want to, you know, you want to go out and you got to be a big dog. That's how you go out and act like one, right? You don't practice the entire week. You're not 100%. Everyone knows you're not 100%. And you go out there and do your thing.
Leadership is about authenticity in some ways. It's about, you know, not just saying it, but also doing it. I think your point on Marcus Peters in the locker room, what he says is very important. It's more a conversation about what he puts on tape, right? And when you put on tape what Max Crosby put on tape today, when the entire locker room knows he's hurting right now, it speaks to every single person that might also be hurting that needs a little bit of extra oomph to try and get themselves on the field. And athletes lead by example. And Max has done that every step of the way throughout his time as a Raider. I looked at this and I thought, man, what a Herculean. He was a shell of himself to anybody that's ever watched him. And he still picked up a sack. And the sack that he picked up was on an effort play where he didn't give up, even though he was double teamed, because frankly, even when Max Crosby's a shell of himself, he still has to get double teamed. I really thought a lot of the defensive line for much of this game played well. I thought there were a lot of opportunities there that came because Max sacrificed so much to put himself on the field. I want him to be healthy for the rest of his life. That's most important. But man, what he said about who he is today speaks to that organization and that locker room for the next decade with him playing.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it a million times, right? Face of the franchise. Like, you want your kids to watch someone and say, hey, you know, duplicate this effort, duplicate this and that. It's number 98. Like, Max brings it every single day. Doesn't matter if it's a game day, doesn't matter if it's practice, doesn't matter if it's a walkthrough. Like, he is the epitome of what it is to be a Raider. He is the definition of what you want wearing the silver and black. And, you know, going out there balling out on certainly not even close to 100%, kudos to our guy, Max. But, you know, I wonder now, Fitz, as we kind of have a chance to kind of, I don't want to say decompress, but kind of hit the pause button for a little bit, kind of zoom out. Raiders are on the bye. What do we need to see when this team gets back to work next week? And obviously there'll be a few things kind of early in this week. Antonio's going to have guys come in, things like that. But what do we need to see when they really get back to work a week from tomorrow, getting ready for the Vikings?
I think Aiden O'Connell needs to find a way to assert getting the ball to Justin Jefferson. You said Vikings, thinking of Justin, to Devontae Adams in those key situations, right? Like, that's the biggest. I thought AOC did a really nice job today of moving the ball around, getting Hunter Renfrow involved, some beautiful passes to Jacoby Myers, All of these things. They have got to find a way, whether it's through scheme or execution, they have got to find a creative way to make sure that Devontae is touching the ball as often as possible in the second half. That's just, I don't know if this is time under tension, like if this is reps, I don't know what it is. That's the thing it has to fix. Because the running game has gotten much better the last few weeks, right? And, you know, you look at this defense, I think this defense has played well enough to win. I know the final score, 31-17, won't look to a stat watcher, but this was a game that they were in every position to win after taking on the Dolphins. Like, they just went through the toughest two-game stretch they're going to have. Now you got to come back, you got to step back, you got to reset, you got to see what you can make of the rest of your season. Because at 5-7, this goes two ways. Like, either you're still fighting to try and get yourself into the playoffs and somehow have a miracle happen in a tight AFC, or you come back feeling like you're one step away from a beach vacation. And that's going to speak to the coaching staff. And then the execution is going to speak to what they can accomplish in this bye week.
You know, it's the beauty of the NFL, right, Fitz? I mean, if, you know, this team comes out of 2 weeks from today and they beat the Vikings, you and I are going to be sitting here saying, whoa, how about that? You know, don't count them dead just yet. I mean, obviously today it doesn't feel very good and there's so much that needs to get better, but it's the beauty of the NFL. It's week by week. We get to overreact. We get to freak out and we get to hopefully kind of land somewhere right in the middle. But I just want to kind of get, you know, follow up on this a little bit, Fitz, where you talk about getting Devontae involved. Right. And it seems like we've talked about it week after week after week after week. I wonder what that kind of happy median is. And we heard from Aiden and obviously from Jimmy when he was a starter as well about giving Devontae his opportunities to go beat Devontae, but also not forcing it, having it kind of work in the flow of your collective offense. But two targets in the second half, and Aiden came out post game and he said, hey, I missed Devontae on that third down. You know, that one's on me. But how do we kind of land that plane in that delicate sweet spot of making sure he is getting his reps, right? That we are making him a volume shooter, but also not making the offense one-dimensional either.
I think that this comes down to the development of Aiden. And, you know, we all remember the highlight a few years ago where whichever Jets quarterback it was came on the sideline and said, I'm seeing ghosts.
Yeah. Mr. Darnold, I believe.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that Aiden is seeing ghosts, but what do we see in the second half repeatedly? More checkdowns quickly. We see a lot more attempts at screens quickly, right? We're seeing all of these things to sort of disguise or to try and get the ball out of his hand in a way that mitigates disaster, right? And when we've seen him be super aggressive, it's resulted in interceptions. I think that's probably fair. The happy medium is being aggressive enough to still try and push the ball 6, 7, 8 yards down the field instead of right away to the line of scrimmage. The happy medium is having quicker progression to get to your second or third read where you're not holding on to the ball as long and you're making faster decisions. These are all things that I think come with time. And that's part of why Aiden's playing right now. I think that as frustrating as it is, if anyone's ever tried to make soup, you can't make soup quickly. It just takes time for soup to gel together. And I know everybody wants like 3-minute chicken noodle soup here, but with Aiden, the whole reason he's playing right now is to get these reps. And these reps are the only way we're going to figure out for the future who he is as a quarterback. So I think part of this balance just comes on his ability to read through his progressions, get through them, and then get the ball to Devontae in a reasonable way, or have better play structure for him right out of the gate where you're putting the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and I think what's, you know, you can look at it two ways, right? If it's you can look at it as either frustrating that we don't see more of these moments, or you can look at it as a positive that we do see some of these. Is there is that play in the first half where, you know, a third down and Aiden's clearly looking for Jacoby, or excuse me, not Jacoby, he's looking for Devontae. Devontae's not there. He then goes to Jacoby. You see in real time that progression. You see like, yes, this is it. One, two, and it's like, yeah, you know, the Christmas lights go off, the bells and the whistles of the game show. You're like, yes, 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 this is the moment. But you just need to see it more. And to your point, the only way that we see it more is if this kid gets sustained playing time. And fingers crossed he stays healthy the rest of the way. And at the end of 2023, you have a nice big body of work and hopefully some tangible improvement that going into the offseason, Champ Kelly or whoever it is can make some real decisions about what to do at that position, the most important position in sports.
Yeah, I mean, especially the most important position in sports when you're taking on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And that's just no, like, there is no getting around the fact that right now, I think the Raiders organizationally as a fan base, we all have to look at it and say, what's the fine line in being the best we can possibly be, but also making sure that we're not the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins for a generation taking on Tom Brady, right? Like, you have got to find a way to compete. And sometimes we put all the focus on how do you stop Mahomes. There is going to be another focus that's inevitable at some point about trying to get your own Mahomes. And that's easier said than done. Certainly, the Chargers feel like they got their own Mahomes, and as has been all over social media in the last day, that's resulted in essentially a 500 record and an even split in points allowed, points scored. So, like, what good did it do them? So there's a fine line in all of this. Aiden O'Connell's job right now is to go out and be the, like, he has the opportunity. This is the coolest opportunity anybody could ever beg for. You have the opportunity to go out and show an organization that you can be the starting quarterback for the next 10 years. He's done some nice things along the way. There has to be another progression of the, I can make plays off schedule. I can adapt in the second half. Like, he's doing a nice job of doing what he's asked to do right now. He's got to make another leap in just being an instinctive playmaker, I think, if he really wants to be the future of this organization.
Agreed, 100%. I would like to see when we get back from the bye, like to your point, a little more improvisation, a little more creativity, a little more, hey, 1, 2, 3 is not here. I'm going to get out. I'm going to do it myself a little bit. Much easier said than done, certainly. But for a young guy who's getting a lot of experience, he's flying by the seat of his pants in the best possible way, I would love to see that when we get back from the bye. I will also love to see you when we get back from the bye, Jason Fitz, as we have a weekend off. But before we depart and go, at least I get a little time off. I know you're grinding. So where can the people find you starting tomorrow and through the bye week until we see you again for the Vikings?
Yeah, be sure you're hanging out. Hey, every Saturday morning I'm out there on Fox Sports Radio hanging out. That's always fun. And then you can check me out almost every day on Yahoo Sports. We've got great NFL content out there. We do a ton of quick hit college football videos too. So you can check out the Yahoo Sports app. We've got everything in there. Plus Yahoo, the website, has everything there. And you can just follow me at Jason Fitz. Links are always there on all my social media. Really proud of what we're doing at Yahoo. It's fun stuff. Not just fantasy football. We're doing everything. And it's a cool hang. So come hang out with
me. Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to watch you guys do your thing. And, you know, as a fan, right, it's fun to engage with your content and kind of see what you guys are doing and steal some tips and tricks and hopefully make the things that you and I do a little bit better in the process. But speaking of what is going to get better in the process, the Raiders are going to have a little time to, kind of reset the mechanism, get away, relax, kind of make sure that health is number one, but kind of refocus because we still got a lot of football, Jason Fitz, which is a blast. So in the meantime, everyone, enjoy your bye. Obviously, no Fitz and Eddie next week because the Raiders aren't going to be here. I'm not going to be in this building. Fenn's not going to be in this building. We ain't going to be here. Some well-deserved time off. And so until the Vikings, is that our next game, correct, Fenn? Until the Vikings game, everyone stay safe, stay healthy. Eddie Pascal, my guy Jason Fitz. Big thank you to all our friends at Silver and Black Productions, and we'll see you guys 2 weeks from tonight when the Raiders take on the Vikings in the fifth quarter, presented by Twitch.
Thank you for listening to the fifth quarter, presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.